Growing up, there was one part of going to the dentist office that I actually enjoyed. We would go to the dentist office, and our dentist always had the Highlights magazine. And so we would go into that, and my brother and sister and I, we would always try to find the spot the difference puzzles. If you're not familiar with them, something like this, you got two pictures side by side, and you're supposed to spot the differences. Anybody ever do these puzzles? You like them? A few of them. Have any of you see these at the dentist office in the Highlights magazine? Doctors, a few. So, yeah, this just seems to be all over the place. There's a few differences. The fork there, it's got four tines. There's got three tines. Today, and I'm not going to leave it up there for you to find all the differences. I can email you this picture if you want to find them all. But we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 2. And essentially, this is a different type of a spot the difference picture. So Ephesians chapter 2, and I'm going to read all of it, so kind of a large chunk here. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace that you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us. Therefore, remember that formerly you who were Gentiles by birth, and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, that done in the body by the hands of men, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenant of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and destroyed the barrier, the dividing walls of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace, and in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who are near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as chief cornerstone. In him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Heavenly Father, as we look at your words this morning, we just pray that you would give us wisdom, give us understanding. May we be open to the Holy Spirit working in us that which is pleasing to you. So please just, drive out the distractions from our hearts and minds to look at your words now. So I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, last Sunday, as Mark mentioned, was Easter Sunday. The Sunday where we remember, We celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ and what it can bring. And essentially, that's what we're going to be looking at today, the so what. So last week was Easter. Jesus died on the cross. He rose from the dead. What does that mean for us? What effect does that have in our lives? And there's a lot of different directions that we could take Ephesians 2 in. You know, we could preach the next several months, you know, many different sermons on this. You know, it's a very rich passage. But as I read, was going through Ephesians 2, you know, I kind of saw this spot the difference picture. Not a visual picture, but a word picture. So let's put these together. So first, individually, we were separate from Christ. We were excluded from citizenship. We were foreigners to the covenant of the promise. We were without hope. We were without God in the world. We were far away. And there was a dividing wall of hostility between us and God. So that's one picture. The next picture we have, in Christ, we've been brought near. Christ is our peace. The two have become one. The dividing wall of hostility has been destroyed. Christ has made peace. The reconciliation with God. Death to hostility. Access to the Father. Citizens. Members of God's household. And we are a dwelling place of God through His Spirit. Can you spot the difference between these two pictures? You know, it is a marked contrast. You know, of course, the picture here where we are separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship, foreigners, that is what life is like without God. Without Jesus, it is a person who is without hope. They are dead, they are objects of wrath, they are separate, they are excluded, they are foreigners, they are without hope, without God, and there's a dividing wall of hostility. You know, quite a picture of hopelessness, of despair. And the second picture shows a picture who has been blessed by God, who has been made alive. We were once far away from God, but through the blood of Christ, we have been brought near to God. There was once a barrier between us and God. There was no way around that barrier. But Jesus removed it. He destroyed the wall. And we read in the Bible that when Jesus was hanging there on the cross, that darkness came over all the land. And the curtain in the temple that separated the place where most people could go into the Holy of Holies, where the presence of God was supposed to dwell. That curtain was ripped in two. You know, symbolizing that that barrier between us and God has been destroyed. That now we have access to the Father. And there's a lot of religions that I've seen where you have to go through all kinds of rites, all kinds of rituals that you have to perform in order to be heard by their God. You know, I've seen that in Japan and in Taiwan where people will go to the temple and first they're supposed to go, there's a little fountain, they're supposed to wash their hands. And then they might have an incense stick and they would put that in something in the center. Then they would go a little bit further and they would ring a bell. And they need to do all these things in order to get the God's attention, that they might listen. But this tells us that we have free access to God. That Jesus has broken down that barrier. It says that we are citizens with God's people. We are members of his household. And to be a citizen is more than we often think about. You know, there were times in Taiwan where my family and I would go on vacations and tours with other church workers. And occasionally we would go to a place that was a military installation. And because we were foreigners, we couldn't go into that section where everybody else could go. You know, we didn't have the rights for that. Only citizens were allowed into there. You know, so this says that we are now citizens with God's household, with God's people. You know, God has granted us citizenship, so we have the full rights and privileges. And more than that, it says we are members of God's household. Other places, Paul says we are heirs with Christ. And because of that, we will inherit eternal life. You know, it seems impossible that this is the same person. That somebody could be dead, separate, excluded, a foreigner, without hope, without God. They could be far away. And yet, when they believe in Jesus, because of the power of the cross, because of what Jesus has done in dying on the cross, in being resurrected, our lives are transformed. We are made alive. Now, sometimes people think the purpose of religion is so that I can become a better person. And if that's the case, if that's truly what religion is, you don't need religion. You need a self-help book. You need accountability from other people so that you can have better habits, so that you can be a better person. You know, it's not possible for a dead person to become alive. You know, sometimes we think, I just need to try harder. Now, I don't have any shoelaces, but we've got that axiom, you know, you need to pull yourself up by your bootstraps. You know, reach down and pull yourself up. Well, try that. It's impossible. It doesn't work. But we have this idea, I just need to work harder. I just need to do better. You know, last month or so, we talked some about the different heresies that are out there. You know, one of them was that, well, in order for God to get to God, first we reach out to God. We reach out our hand to God, and then God is going to reach out to us. Sometimes it's used that God is just going to reach out to us, and all we have to do is reach out to him. And I use this example, and I use it again because I think it's effective. How many times have you seen a dead person raise out their arms? Kind of morbid, but maybe you've been to a lot of funerals. You've got the casket there. Have you ever seen the dead person reach out their arm? No. That dead person has no power to do that. They've got no ability to bring life to themselves. And this is pretty clear in this passage. Ephesians 2:1 says that we were dead in our transgressions and sins. And by that nature, we were objects of wrath. So we are dead. So it's impossible for a person who is... So we are dead in our transgressions and sins. You know, it's impossible for a person who is separate from Christ, who is excluded from citizenship, who is a foreigner, who is without God, without hope, who is far away. You know, for them to transform themselves by good habits, by self-discipline, by power, to turn around and to become brought near to Christ, to have peace, The two have become one. That dividing wall of hostility has been destroyed. To have reconciliation with God, death to hostility, access to the Father, citizens, to become members of God's household, and to be a dwelling place of God through His Spirit. We don't do that by ourselves. In human terms, this is impossible. But Paul tells us how this is possible. Starting in verse 4, "But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace, expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." Probably a passage that if you've grown up in the church, you have looked at. You may have even memorized Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. You know, "For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is a gift of God." It's pretty clear. We don't contribute to our salvation. As a dead person, we don't reach out our arms to God. "But God so loved the world that He sent His one and only Son, Jesus Christ, down to this earth, that anyone who believes in Him will not perish, but they'll have everlasting life." This is the power of Easter. This is why we gather and we celebrate. It's why Easter is the best attended service in the Christian church, along with Christmas and Christmas Eve. It's a message of hope and life. It's the transformation, and not just transformation. No, it's going from being dead to being alive. That's why we gather each week. This is good news. This is the hope that we have in Christ. This is the news that we are supposed to spread. Because there's a lot of people who are still living that first picture, that they're dead. They're separate from Christ. That there's hostility between them and God. And so news that there could be peace, that somebody can have access to God, is wonderful. It's a wonderful thing. You know, the power of the cross is that it brings life out of death. That broken relationship we've had, well, that didn't exist, it's been restored. That we can now stand before God, we can be in His family, and be before Christ. You know, that is a wonderful thing. And so as we end, we can remember this. So let's read this together, because this is for you. This is good news. So let's read it together. "But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household." You know, Heavenly Father, you know, I thank you for these words, for this promise, this hope, this transformation that you have brought. That even though we were once far away, you have brought us near through the blood of Jesus. And we thank you for the transforming power of the cross, Jesus' sacrifice, His death, and His resurrection. And because of that, we can have life. Lord, I pray that this message would not just be something we look at Easter, but every morning that we wake up, we'd be reminded of your goodness, of your mercy. That we'd be reminded that we have access to you, peace with you. Lord, give us the boldness, the courage, open our eyes to see the opportunities you give us to share this with all those around us. Lord, we know that you have prepared good works for us in advance, ways that we can love our neighbors, to point them to you. So God, I thank you for your love. I thank you for the power of the cross and what that means for us. So I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's close with singing What a Wonderful Savior, number 345. If you're able, please stand as we sing